أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Before I begin tonight's lecture, I ask that we please recite Surah Fatiha for the soul of our dear departed brother, Sayyid Abdul Aziz Al Hakim. Tonight, we're going to talk about one of the traits of the muttaqin. There is a series of lectures that we have going talking about the traits of the muttaqin and using the khutbah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the khutbah of Hammam, in which the Imam has been asked to describe the faithful as if he can see them. That's what the person wanted to see. Now, our objective in going over these traits is to hear these traits, hear the words of the Ahlul Bayt, and see how they can apply to us today. We have the honor of being the people who, inshallah, with the grace of Allah, will see our Imam. Our duty in his absence is to pave the way for the Imam. That paving the way is going to be through us performing our outward duties, our wajibat, our social duties, our religious duties. For instance, if an issue comes up in Palestine, that's one of our political duties as a Muslim, to support what's right and forbid what's wrong. And then also through self-development and self-purification. Brothers and sisters, we have to take self-purification very importantly. You brothers and sisters have seen what happened recently in the Iranian Revolution, where you see that great people who've done great things in the way of Islam, sacrificed in the way of Islam, unfortunately were not able to work on themselves for some spiritual traits, and the same people who were tortured under the Shah in order to sacrifice for Islam now are standing in the way of Islam. Brothers and sisters, it is not enough that at the moment I'm a practicing Muslim, and I'm speaking to myself first. It is an honor to be here with you brothers and sisters who are the soldiers of the Imam. But we have to take this very, very seriously. So, what trait will we talk about today? وَوَقَفُوا أَسْمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ النَّافِعِ لَهُمْ. The believers, the pious, are those who make their ears waqf, endowment for knowledge which is beneficial for them. It's part of taking ourselves seriously as soldiers of the Imam of our time. What do I do with the emanat that God has granted me? My eyes, my ears, my heart, my time. One of them is my ears. The hadith says that they make their ears waqf, an endowment. You know, with waqf, you can't use it in other than what it's supposed to be used for, what you've made the endowment for. So the waqf has to be used properly. Their waqf is what? Knowledge which is beneficial for them. That's what they're looking for. So now, we have in verses of Quran, and normally what I do in these lectures is that I like to give the verses of Quran that we're referring to. That way the brothers and sisters, because we're serious about this self-building, we can refer to the Quran ourselves later. It's not only hearsay. Listen to the ayat of Quran, read the ayat of Quran, and then implement them. Brothers and sisters, self-building is very, very serious. So, verse of Quran, Surah 80 and verse number 24. فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَىٰ تَعَامِهِ. So a man must look at his food. That always says that I asked the Imam, I said, what does this verse mean? I can tell the apparent meaning. I mean, obviously, anybody who can understand Arabic, a man must look at his food. So one might think, okay, well, I want to obey these instructions of the Quran. I'll make sure that I eat healthy. I won't eat haram. I'll eat organic food. But the Rawi said, what's the deeper meaning? What's the hidden meaning behind this? The Imam said, عِلْمُهُ, his knowledge, الَّذِي يَأْخُذُهُ مَنْ مَنْ عَمَّنْ يَأْخُذُهُ, his knowledge, where does he get his knowledge from? We look at our food, yes, halal, haram. More important than my physical food, the food for my soul. Where do I get that from? Brothers and sisters, and I'm telling you guys because you're the future of Islam, the soldiers of Islam, and your duty is to work as if you will live forever. Meaning we're not planning that because the Imam, inshallah, his return is imminent, that means that, okay, doomsday, put a billboard on my street, walk around the street, it's doomsday. No, it's not doomsday. We plan as if we don't know when the return of the Imam will happen. Maybe it'll happen after another 400,000 years. God knows. But when we look at the signs, we can tell it's right around the corner. But still, we plan as if we're planning forever. So you brothers and sisters who are going to be the future standard bearers of Islam, one of the things we have to change about our communities is that our communities are supposed to be based around ilm and ulama. Ilm and ulama. Our communities, in many circumstances, are cultural centers established by righteous and good believers. And that's wonderful. We laud those who have gone before us. But brothers and sisters, establishing an Islamic community is not about building a center. You need ulama. You don't need only low-level ulama either, who can just tell you what other people have told you, tell you what's in the Risala. You need scholars who can take the information based on your situation right here on the ground, here in London, and tell you this is what we need to do. This is what our taklif is. It's not only, oh, what does Agha Sistani say? What does Agha Khamenei say over there? That's great. We need that. But now, in this particular situation, should the believers march? Should they not? Should they stand for this? Should they rise? What should they do? We need ulama, decision makers. Islamic decision. It's easy to make a decision. You know, I'll make a decision about Islam. No. A decision based on the principles. There's a big difference between us and our Wahhabi brothers. Right? If you were a Wahhabi, I would tell you, brothers, you don't need to go to Qom and study for 10 to 15 years. You grow a nice long beard, you get a miswak, roll up your pants legs, qala Abu Hurairah, and that's it. It's okay. But for us as Shias, it's a little bit tougher, brothers and sisters. If you associate something to Islam, if you, Allah says this, do you know? Are you a mujtahid? Where do you get that from? Oh, I like this. Read one hadith. Islam says this, brothers and sisters, slow down just a little bit, bro. It's a day of judgment. There will be one day. You know, and I always tell this to our young brothers who are speakers, when I get a chance to speak with them, that brothers and sisters, you, when you speak to the youth, because you can speak in the language of the youth, because you have pleasant akhlaq, the youth take what you have to say. If you say something about Islam, some other alim comes in later, stumbling in his English, trying to get the words out. Like, this man, he doesn't know what's going on. My brother is from the hood. He knows. So you speak about something, they take it dead serious. So, brothers and sisters, added responsibility. They say if one crazy person throws a rock in a well, it takes 10 sane people to take it out. You go over and you say something on behalf of Islam, the youth will follow you. It's not easy. There will be a day when we will answer for what is said. It doesn't matter how popular you are. There will be a day of judgment. So I always explain that to the brothers and sisters. So part of it is actually going and seeking knowledge. But when we encourage brothers and sisters to go to Qom, it's not go 1 month, 2 months, 3 years, 5 years, 10. Go and become a heavyweight. Come back, teach, preach, so we can build our Islamic centers in the future around you guys. That's one. The other way, when we're trying to get that knowledge and we make our ears waqf, endowment for knowledge which is beneficial, is that we go to ulama. Now this one's a little bit tricky. When we go to ulama, we have to see what that scholar is and what that scholar is preaching. They all have imamas. Oh, they all have imamas? They're saying different things, bro. They're not all saying the same things. Their messages are diametrically opposed. Can't we all just hold hands? Well, that'd be great, but that's not realistic. There's different messages going out that are completely opposite to one another. So, as a soldier of the Imam, we can't be naive. I'm not saying be suspicious of all ulama. All ulama are bad, they're getting khums. I don't know what these guys are. No. But does that mean I have to be naive? We have hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says that the person who sleeps doesn't mean others are sleeping. We have to be careful. Get our knowledge from proper spaces. So obviously when I want to get an alim, one of the things I need the alim for is those practical laws in Islam. One of the things that I need the alim for is my political direction on the issue of Iraq, the issue of Lebanon. You know, in some centers, and I'm sure it didn't happen here, in some centers during this latest war on Palestine, during Muharram, would you believe there were some Shia who didn't mention the issue of Palestine? I'm crying for Imam Hussein. Palestine's right in front of you. You believe that? In some centers it happened. So now on these issues, the issues of Palestine, Iraq, Lebanon, issues which are facing the Ummah, I need to refer to ulama. In addition to that, for self-building, for spirituality, I need to listen to ulama. Now, brothers and sisters, I have a duty between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right now, because we're getting closer and closer to the time of the 12th Imam, you ask other muballighin who are going out around the world, they will tell you that the hearts of the believers are changing. People are getting more ready for the coming of the Imam. People are getting more spiritual. They want to know. So that also means it's a time for people to take advantage of that. We're talking about not being naive, being taken advantage of that. Brothers and sisters, there are false claimants out there also. And I'm going to mention one false claimant, so that on the day of judgment, you brothers and sisters don't hold me and say, well, why, Sheikh, you knew about this, the Hausa knew about this, and you guys didn't say anything. That false claimant is Sheikh Akram Majidi. That Sheikh is bad news, 100% wrong, brothers and sisters. But I don't want you to just take it from me. You take it from the words of the Ahlul Bayt, from the words of the leaders, those people who are spiritual advisors, those direct students from Allama Tabatabai, you take it from these guys. And listen, now, what happens is that we want to know about Islamic spirituality. We want to develop ourselves. We want to get to be the best people we could possibly be. We don't go to books like The Elixir of Love and try and find out what Irfan is. I'll give you an example. In that book, the wonderful book, The Elixir of Love, which many of us, this gets us involved, it gets us excited. In the book, The Elixir of Love, one of the stories that relate, remember, all of these stories aren't true. All of these stories, it's not gospel, it's not Quran. We compare it to Quran and Sunnah. They say about Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayat, they say that this man was in a situation where everybody was starving, everybody was hungry. They say, this is in the book, read it yourself, to the extent that his family were cooking leather, taking shoes and roasting shoes to eat. And then the Sheikh walks by and sees a dog which is hungry, and he buys the dog kebab. Brothers and sisters, your wife and children are wajib nafaqa. Is it possible that an arif, that a Muslim would see my family's eating leather and buy kebab for a dog? So you know, so is Rajab Ali Khayat, no, I'm not saying that. Does that mean everything in the book, you compare the book to Quran and Sunnah? Is that Quran and Sunnah? Is that fiqh? Is that marja? Is that, if it's not that, you know, does it make sense? Okay, so we don't want to go to that. We want to go to those teachers of akhlaq, teachers of irfan, and hear from those guys. Now, one of the first things we want to do is we want to find an akhlaq teacher who has proper character. You know, when you go to the hawza, inshallah, you will go to the hawza. When you go to the Hawza, there's two things that you're looking for. One of them is that you're looking for true, sahih, correct knowledge. Long term, to be a heavyweight. That's one of the things you're looking for. Besides that, you're looking for spirituality. Brothers and sisters, if you go to the Hawza thinking, I'm going to guide the rest of the ummah. Why am I in the Hawza? To save everybody else. I'm in the Hawza to save myself. To save my own soul. Develop myself. Which is Islamic spirituality. Which is Irfan. And there's so many teachers of Irfan. Sheikh Tahriri, Sheikh Rijali, Sheikh Saidi, Sheikh Sayyid Waziri Far, Sheikh Mujahid, so many of these people who are well-known, recognized teachers in Irfan. You go into the Hawza, day one, brothers, I learned a little Farsi, now I want to speak to one of these sheikhs. Bismillah, start your program. You're supposed to do self-development. That is what made our ulama great. You've heard the stories of Imam Khomeini. You've heard the stories of some of our older ulama. You know that at one time we only had one marja, Agha Barunjirdi. He was such a person that he made a nazr that if I get angry inappropriately, I will fast one whole year. Somebody came in his class making a lot of noise. He's answering the brother's question. Brother, he gets angry. Be silent, young man. I got angry inappropriately. He fasts for 1 year, but first he comes and kisses the man's hand. Humility. Sheikh Kashif al-Ghita, one of our other maraja, he was passing out Shahriya. The students, there's a Sayyid who comes in. I'm not happy, I didn't get Shahriya. He's like, brother, I finished all the Shahriya. The Sayyid, just a regular person, Sayyid, student, comes and spits in the face of the Marja. The Marja takes the spit, wipes it on his face, and then goes amongst the crowd and says that whoever has respect for the beard of the Sheikh, then please give some money. Walks around the crowd, people start putting money in the clothes of their marja, and he gives it to the Sayyid. He says, I apologize to you, and he kisses his hand. Talk about self-building. So all of our ulama who've achieved have been these kind of, you've heard of Imam Khomeini, that's what we know about Irfan. Imam Khomeini and his character, not only his political movement. So when you go to the Hawza, you're looking for that. So now, when you're looking for that, there are also wrong people. One of the first things you look for, you have to find a teacher who's accredited, and you want to find a person who's of great character. Let me tell you a little bit, the tip of the iceberg, brothers and sisters, about the character of Sheikh Akram Majidi. This guy is a divorcee. He divorced both his wives. He savagely would beat his wife. This is from his students, his top students. Savagely. This person doesn't have any accreditation from Qom, any of the known teachers to say that he has permission to take others on the spiritual path. None! And this person, he does have accreditation from North Africa, the Sufi tariqas. Brothers and sisters, let me just explain something. We do believe in unity with all our brothers and sisters of the Ummah. We do believe in unity. I used to be Sunni, okay? I'm not one of those people come up and try and bash Sunnis. But brothers and sisters, there's a difference between us and our Sunni brothers and sisters. We believe the Ahlul Bayt is the Ark of Noah. We follow the Ahlul Bayt. We're not Sufis. We're not Sunnis. Yes, we have respect for others, but we're not them. We're us. We're Shia. Unified, but not the same. So he does have information from them. So this guy, then that's just the tip of the iceberg, a little bit about his character. This guy is making claims to be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah! Do you know what that means? If it means that, inspiration, well, you and I, we all get inspiration. If it means Allah talks to you, or you get extra information, your Ummi Musa, if it's that, then that's a big problem. Guided by God, we don't have any more ma'sumin. There is no one guided by God in that way. We don't say that. One thing you should know, this is one of the unwritten laws of the Hawza. You do not go into the Hawza seeking name and attention. You don't do that. If you come into the Hawza, you're looking to be a marja, to be a big shot. That's a mistake, brothers and sisters. Don't be fooled. Anybody coming out, a billboard. Which is why we have Fatwas, look in the Risala of Sayyid Sistani if you make taqlid to Sayyid Sistani. If you follow Agha Khamenei, look in the Risala of Agha Khamenei. One of the things that is forbidden in Islam is libasu shuhra. To wear libas, and you have different definitions. You, if you make taqlid to Sistani, go and look what his definition is. You're not supposed to wear clothes that stand make you stand out. If it's libasu shuhra, it's haram shar'an. You're a marja, you make taqlid, go and... So then after that, then you see, when he, if, and I don't have a problem with the brothers. I don't, these brothers were friends of my younger brothers. I met these brothers in Syria. I know these brothers. I know their families. They were pious and sincere from before. Friends, we're close. But the sheikh is wrong. I'm not going to apologize for that. So why would the sheikh have somebody who's trying to go on the spiritual path wear something that is either 100% haram, or maybe it's not all the way haram, but if you're going on the spiritual path, you have to be more careful than others. That's impossible. So you don't go in looking for anybody or looking for any groups. You see, when you've been in the house as long as I have, I've been in there 15 years. I went over there 15 years ago. I've seen presidents come and go. I've seen the principal of our house come and go. Several times. I remember normally I speak, a lot of times the school gives me the honor of speaking when we have important guests. So I was teasing Ahmadinejad, you know, but just making a small joke, a little humor, that, you know, yeah, I've seen the other presidents. I didn't vote for you because I'm not an Iranian, okay? Right? So when you've been in there that long, you've seen a lot of these groups come and grow. They did an expose last Ramadan on wrong groups. And now what I need to do is just, what are some of the signs of a wrong group? There's no time for just, if they go against the Sharia, if they go call towards the self, if they don't have respect for ulama, if it goes against good common sense. No time to explain all of those things, just a little point now about what this thing is. So, this people, one thing about that whole thing of being drawn up to God, when you ask the experts in Irfan, Sheikh Tahriri, Sheikh Rajali, these other people, we have what is known that sometimes some people are what we call jazbi. What jazbi means is that they were brought up to God. They didn't have a teacher. Normally in Irfan, you look for somebody who has a teacher. Who's your teacher? This person. Who qualifies this person? Who lets us know who this person is? How do you do it for a marja? Not because he has a big imamah, he has a long beard. No. This, who says he's a marja? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the proof? Quran, proof. Amirul Mu'mineen, proof. Spiritual teacher, proof. So that, what is your proof? An expert. So now, when it comes to these experts, they say that there are two kinds of people. There are some who are brought up by God. They didn't have teachers. They had worked on themselves spiritually. They were brought up by God, meaning that they were able to go on the spiritual path and go beyond those first levels, because we have two levels. We have the level of Ikhlas, which is Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayat, Mujtahidi, Bula, all these guys. They were not Urafa. They were Mukhlis. They were not Khalis. They didn't reach the state of Khulus. This is from Sheikh Tahriri himself, his words. Okay. So now, with these guys who are at that level of purity, right? So either, who reach that level of Irfan, either they work with the teacher, or they don't. If they don't, and they've only been a few of them, one in a million, these guys, and it's not Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayat, and it's not those other people, we have examples of them. What happens is this person cannot teach others. Normally they die quickly, it's too much for them. But we do have people like that. If you do claim to be brought up by God, which these people don't make these kind of claims, then after that you cannot teach. Sheikh Tahriri himself, read his book. It's impossible. It's well known. A jazbi cannot teach. So, now just the tip of the iceberg, we're going to just go over a few of these practices just to let you know what the reality is. The sheikh claims to cure people by looking at their pictures. You look at your picture, brother, you have the disease of hasad, brother, you have the disease of arrogance, brother, you have, brothers and sisters, Irfan in Islam is not like this. Irfan in Islam is jihad with the nafs. The spiritual teacher may know your spiritual station. You have to talk. It's not sitting there, you'll sprinkle magic dust on me and he'll cure me. Brother, this is my problem, this is my issue, and then he'll tell you. That's how it works. Jihad, the same way the Prophet and the Imams worked, not through miracles. So that is And then the other thing, the firasat, that, oh, you have green eyes, so I can't trust you. You have a long nose, that means shahwat. No, brothers, this is not the irfan of the Ahlul Bayt. That kind of irfan is not right. Again, because when you want to make an understanding, look at the combination, not just the one thing, the combination. The vegan diet, I don't eat milk, I don't eat cheese, I don't eat... Brothers and sisters, come on, man. We don't have that. That has incorrectly been attributed to our Qadi Tabatabai. That is wrong. If somebody says it, then it's a lie. But incorrectly it's been attributed. People don't know. They think that these things are not within our Shia chain. You know what happens to some of the disciples who've been following this practice? Some of them have been hospitalized more than one time. Some have become suicidal. This is not the way, brothers and sisters. We don't have that. You've heard the famous hadith of the Prophet, my companions are abstaining from meat and other things, right? We don't have time to go into it. Sometimes calling the students to order to go against a direct order of Imam Mahdi. In my own house, come to me in my own house and tell me that the Arif can do self-purification. We have hadith about the water which is known as Qur water. Some of the hadith state that the water is 3 handspans. Some of the hadith state it's 3.5 handspans. To say that, oh, no, actually what's meant is not 3 handspans or 3.5 handspans. The arif will purify himself until he understands it's just a lot of water. So I can reject hadith of the Ahlul Bayt on this issue? They've said it. Correct hadith. This is not the way, brothers and sisters. It's a long discussion. We don't have time for it. So the music issue, look at the music, look at the fatwa of your marja and see what your marja says about music. Fiqh and the ahkam of the Ahlul Bayt, that's not the enemy. The laws of the Sharia, that's not the enemy. We cannot get to the batin without the zahir. That's how it works. There's not, you know, that there's some disdainful words that are used about it. The Sharia is not the enemy. Jinns waking people up for Salatul Layl. No, this is what's discussed as if it's a fazilat. Being told by the Shaykh, how do I know this? The Shaykh will tell me on the first time that he gives me my lecture or to give me my spiritual advice that there is najasat on my clothes that I'm uninformed about. Brothers and sisters, if you don't know about najasat, the najasat is not something you have to worry. According to your marja, the Shaykh is not going to tell you that. How do you know the Shaykh? Brothers and sisters, how do you know anybody? How do you know Bush? How do you know Obama? How do you know Brad Pitt? How do you know Michael Jackson? You know them by what people say, by what people, you go on the internet, you read about them, you hear what those who are close to them say. I met the Shaykh once, that was enough for me. When I told my other friends about the Shaykh, my other friends who have been in the house as long as I have, they're like, I'm just gonna wait till he says he's Imam Zaman so I can make bay'ah. They didn't even wait. Just wait till he says Imam Zaman, then I can make bayat, and then you've seen these things. This happened so many times. There's 100 of these groups in Qom. 100. So the social responsibilities, your political responsibilities, as a Muslim, you have a duty to the Ummah, you have a duty to your family. You have to associate with others. That's what Islam is. Islam and being spiritual runs right through the dunya, not in a cave. It's not about getting a tasbih, going away. No. Right through the dunya. Amirul Mu'mineen on the battlefield, killing the enemies of Islam, and then at night praying Salatul Layl. That's what spirituality is. Right? Those powers, if you have, brothers and sisters, if you have a connection with the jinn, you can tell people their past. This is not, ask your elders in the community, ask them about what happens in Africa. Ask them the people that they know who have a relationship with the jinn, and with those people who have a relationship, what they can tell you about yourself. It's not a big deal. There's people who can levitate. Does that mean they're on the right path? So brothers and sisters, my time is over. I just want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean that we are against irfan. It doesn't mean we're against spirituality. It doesn't mean we don't look for these things. But it does mean that, brothers and sisters, we have to stand for what's right. Brothers and sisters, for the elders in the community, for you family, you in the community, there's some of you who have felt that this kind of irfan is wrong. You have to stand up. Don't be afraid of the people. Don't worry about position or rizq or friendship, if you do not stand up to what is wrong, those same people who you're trying to please will hold it against you on the day of judgment. We are all responsible to Allah and to the Imam of our time. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, to accept what was said and heard in his way. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, that he preserve all of us. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, that he guide all of the believers, all of the Maraja, and especially the leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Salawat.